Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your late night host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'm with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening, and even if you can't make it all the way to midnight, you can always go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen to our last hour there if you don't make it all the way to midnight. We have both hours there, the 10 o'clock hour as well as the 11 o'clock hour set up as two different ones, the same show. But, I mean, it's just if you can't listen to it all at one time, just go online, livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to our Friday afternoon program every Friday afternoon at 1:30 for a half an hour, 1:30 to 2 o'clock, and that's available there. And there's other things that pop in there every once in a while, like this last Friday, I was on with Pastor John Lutz. He has a program for the cause of Christ every Friday afternoon here on 1220 The Word from 1 o'clock until 1:30. He precedes me, and he fills in for me every once in a while when I'm unable to be there, and I fill in for him every once in a while when he's not able to be there. And sometimes we do a show together, and this past Friday we were on together. We were talking about a variety of things, spent most of the time talking about the importance of Ohio Issue 1, on the August 8th ballot, and why Christians need to be aware of this issue, and really why Christians ought to be voting for Issue 1 on August 8th. And I know we'll touch on that some more this evening, has some more information, and we'll be sharing with that probably over the course of the program tonight. But we've got other things that we're going to be talking about as well. And we also have your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we would love to get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we're going to... we just missed somebody, I think. There was just somebody we just missed. If you were just calling, give us a call back. I think we just missed you. But I just happened to look up and see it blinking, and then it went off. Maybe it was a missed call. But get myself back onto my train of thought here. But we do want to invite you, like I said, to give us a call. But I was going to say, on our website, in addition to past programs, there's a number of other things that are available there, and I encourage you to check it out. I've got comments that I put down there right now, and right now I have an article that I just is a short little thing that I just put together for some people who had questions about Issue 1, want to know who's supporting it, who's against it, and so I put together something, and it's available at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And it was posted on the 15th of July. And it says, vote yes on Ohio issue number one. And what I've got there is three programs that I've done. One of them was on Friday, June 30th, our Friday afternoon program with Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And let me just say something about that real quick here. If you want a great synopsis of what issue one is and why it's important for churches, for Christians to be aware of this issue, go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website. You can log on at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. And when you get to the Ohio Christian Alliance website, at the top of the page, he has a bulletin insert that your church can order. You can order copies, or you can just simply download it and print it yourself. That's probably the best way and the quickest way to do it. And he's got some excellent information about issue one, a synopsis of it, including the text of issue one, how it'll appear on your ballot and what it will do. That's ohioca.org. And Chris Long, President of Ohio Christian Alliance, did an excellent job there. And like I said, the program is there. Linked. And then this past Friday, on July 14th, I had a special program with Mike Gonadakis, the president of Ohio Right to Life. And Mike Gonadakis and I talked as well about issue one, the importance from the pro-life standpoint. And I think that he brought out some information there as well that we need to know. If you're pro-life, there's some things there that you need to know about. And so you can listen to that program with Mike Gonadakis, president of Ohio Right to Life there. And then also, as I referenced that I was on last Friday, July 14th, with Pastor Lutz on his program. There's also a link to that as Pastor Lutz and I were discussing the issue one, basically two pastors talking about what issue one is, why it's important to us and important to our churches. And so I think between the three programs there, the program with Chris Long, president of Ohio Christian Alliance, the program with Mike Gonadakis, president of Ohio Right to Life, and then the program with Pastor Lutz and I talking about issue one will provide you with a lot of information that may be helpful for you understanding the issue or being able to articulate an answer to objections that people are making to it, why it's important and why you should vote yes on it. And then there's also a list that I put together, as I started saying, of organizations that are both for and against Ohio Issue 1. And sometimes looking at who's for something and who's against something can help with making your decision. And as we look at this, organizations for Issue 1 include a diverse number of groups, not all of them necessarily conservative groups or even Christian groups. They fall kind of along the lines of pro-life groups, as well as small business groups, agriculture-related groups, and Second Amendment and sportsman-related groups. To give an example, Associated Builders and Contractors of Ohio, as well as Buckeye Firearms, the Center for Christian Values, Cincinnati Right to Life, Cleveland Right to Life, Faith to Action, Lorain County Young Republicans, National Federation of Independent Business, the Northeast Ohio Right to Life, Ohio Agribusiness Association, the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, which has not always been a friend to the conservatives in some issues. Some we coincide pretty well. Ohio Christian Alliance, Ohio Farm Bureau, Ohio Gun Owners, the Ohio Hotel and Lodging Association, the Ohio Pork Council, the Ohio Restaurant Association, Ohio Right to Life, Ohio Value Voters, Protect Women Ohio, the Republican National Lawyers Association, Ohio Chapter, the Republican Party of Ohio, the Sportsman Alliance, and We the People Convention. This is just some of the ones who are advocating a yes vote on August 8th for Issue 1. Now, what about some of the organizations that stand against Issue 1 that are saying you should vote no? Well, here's the list here, and you'll find that it tends to gravitate towards labor unions and leftist organizations and pro-death organizations. Let me just give you what's on this list. The ACLU of Ohio, the American Federation of Government Employees, the Children's Defense Fund of Ohio, Common Cause Ohio. Oh, here's a good one. I'm sure most of our listeners can identify with this group. The Democrat Socialists of America. There's a good one that's advocating no on issue one. Maybe there's a reason for this. Every Town for Gun Safety, Equality Ohio, Fair Districts Ohio, Fraternal Order of Police of Ohio, Human Rights Campaign, League of Women Voters of Ohio, the Libertarian Party of Ohio, Moms Demand Action, National Association of Social Workers Ohio Chapter, NARAL, the Ohio AFL-CIO, the Ohio Education Association, the Ohio Associated Public School Employees, the Ohio Environmental Council, the Ohio Federation of Teachers, the Ohio Nurses Association, Ohio Physicians for Reproductive Rights. I think we know what they're talking about there. What else do they have here? Our Revolution Ohio. There's a good leftist group. Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood Advocates of Ohio. Pro-Choice Ohio. Students for Gun Control. The Sierra Club, United Auto Workers, and again, many of our listeners probably identify very well with the Working Families Party of Ohio. These are some of the people who are advocating voting no on issue one. And as I've said to some people, if you're not sure, why don't you look at some of the issues or some of the organizations voting for advocating a yes vote and some of those advocating a no vote, and then begin to ask yourself, which of these organizations do I tend to line up with? I was talking with somebody, and they were talking about somebody they knew who kind of leaned a little toward the center left on some social issues and things like that. But they're a strong Second Amendment advocate, gun rights advocate. And whereas the pro-life concerns might not sway them that much, and the transgender concerns might not sway them that much, the threat to Second Amendment rights that's posed by the left was an argument that's swaying them toward voting for issue one to help protect gun rights in Ohio. And so again, I didn't intend to spend the whole beginning of the program talking about this, but I just wanted to share some of this. Go online, livewithpastoral.com, and you can look at these groups, and you can do a search for some of these groups and read what they have to say about it. And some of the things that they say are pretty amazing. They're saying it takes away your vote having 60% to change the Constitution. Many of these groups, like the Ohio Democrats and ACLU chapters and things like that, they require a 60% vote themselves to change their own Constitution. So a little bit of hypocrisy there. But at any rate, just wanted to let you know about that information. And to check that out online, as I said, livewithpastoral.com. And there's a number of other things here, our church newsletter, different articles that I've put together. I usually put together an article every month for our church newsletter. The latest one up there, The Smoke of Their Judgment, talking about the smoke and relating that to the smoke of judgment in the Bible, how Abraham looked out and he looked over the plain, he saw the smoke from Sodom and Gomorrah ascending up, and it was a reminder of God's divine judgment and wrath against sin. And then, of course, Babylon during the tribulation period in the book of Revelation, and the smoke of Babylon goes up, and people see the divine judgment because of their sin. And then, of course, finally in Revelation, I think that's Revelation 18, in Revelation chapter 14, even though it's a couple chapters before, it's actually time-wise later, where it talks about eternity in the future and the lake of fire where the smoke of the torment of those that are in the lake of fire for all eternity goes up forever and ever. Again, a sign of God's divine judgment and wrath against sin. And so that's all in that article, The Smoke of Their Judgment. Hopefully that'd be a blessing to you. And so you can just explore our site there, livewithpastoral.com. Also, links to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And you can find out more about our church there, and you can visit us. And speaking of our church, if you are one of the people, we have some people who like to watch our Friday night Bible study and even our church services on our YouTube broadcast. And we've done a YouTube broadcast for a number of years. earlier this spring, we were banned from YouTube for a couple of weeks because we said some things that the YouTube censors didn't like. Surprise, surprise. And so we just found out this Friday night that we're banned for another 2 weeks. And I got thinking about it, and I was looking at the time and everything. The first one, we were banned because we were discussing a measles outbreak and this was December of 2019. And they banned us this spring over something we discussed in 2019. And in the course of the discussion, because my wife and I had been missionaries in the Samoan Islands in the 1990s, and so we knew some of the people who were involved, and we knew some people that had started a church over there that had gotten saved in our church in American Samoa. They'd started a church in Western Samoa, the independent country of Samoa, and they were there going through this measles epidemic, which was afflicting Western Samoa, but not American Samoa. The reason was because in American Samoa, they had a vaccination rate against measles that was somewhere in the 90 percentile range. In Western Samoa, because of the influence of anti-vaxxers and a tragic medical foul up where two nurses, when mixing up the measles vaccine, it was supposed to be mixed with saline solution. They mixed it with muscle relaxant and administered it to infants and killed some children. And tragic. Well, they went to jail. Medical malfeasance, malpractice, whatever you want to call it. They killed some innocent children. It wasn't the vaccine's fault. It was the fact that they administered muscle relaxant to infants. It never should have happened. It wouldn't do me or you any good either as adults to have it if you don't need it. And that hit at the time that they were being treated to a bunch of anti-vax arguments, and it caused the vaccination rate in Western Samoa to plummet down to where I think by the summer of 2019 it was down around 20-some percent. And a similar thing was going on in New Zealand, where they were listening to, actually it was Robert Kennedy, and he actually went to Western Samoa, I believe, if I remember correctly. He is persona non grata there because he was instrumental in the vaccination rate falling. Well, a guy in New Zealand who had measles got on an airplane and flew all of the, I think it's about 5-6 hours, whatever it is, from New Zealand to Western Samoa, in an aluminum tube with a bunch of people, and the virus spread. And when he got to Western Samoa, it sparked an outbreak. And, I think over 100 people died, the bulk of them under the age of 5. Because the children were not being immunized. And you can think what you want about the vaccines and all that, but in American Samoa, where they had a vaccination rate in the 90 percentile range, they didn't have any problems. They had no epidemic. Also, other South Pacific islands with a vaccination rate similar had no problems. But New Zealand and Western Samoa with low vaccination rates were struck with this epidemic and people died. Well, we were talking about that. In the course of doing that, I went through the anti-vax arguments, and then I went through the refutation of some of those arguments. Now, this is in no way to be construed that I'm a big fan of the COVID vaccine. It's a whole nother type of vaccine. The mRNA shots are completely different than the traditional vaccine, and this has nothing to do with that. In fact, COVID hadn't even been heard of, much less an mRNA shot. So this has nothing to do with that. And we were talking about that, and apparently, because we were talking about that one Sunday morning, the Facebook fact checkers, not listening to the whole thing, heard the arguments of the anti-vaxxers and said we were spreading medical misinformation. Other than the fact that we were showing the arguments so that we could refute them. And I even pointed that out to I said Facebook, I think a moment ago, to YouTube. I even pointed out to YouTube. And, there's no vaccine for stupid. That's all there is to it. And so they upheld our 2-week hiatus, and we were booted off. So I think, and I haven't actually sorted it all out just yet, but I think that the program, or I'm sorry, the YouTube video where we got booted off for another 2 weeks was where I was talking at church about what happened, much like I just did on the radio, and the YouTube censors, because that's what they are. They're not fact checkers. They're censors. The YouTube censors heard again an articulation of the anti-vax position, even though it was being articulated so it could be refuted. They threw us off for 2 weeks. And with the warning, this is your second time. If it happens again, pray for us. We're trying to, we've got a Rumble account established. And so we were going to try and broadcast on Rumble this morning. Had it all set up before I went to church this morning. Three times I sat down with my laptop and I logged on and I got myself going with a test broadcast. Went to church, same laptop, started to set it up, and it wouldn't work. I don't know. As I said, the prince of the power of the air, I guess. So, at any rate, pray for us. We're trying to get that set up. And I'd like to leave YouTube. I mean, we'll stay on YouTube until they throw us off completely, because there's still a lot of people that listen there. But I'd like to eventually migrate over to Rumble or something similar where we can do a live broadcast without being censored. And that's the problem. Pray for churches today and pastors today that are willing to stay true to the Word of God and to point out factually what's happening in the world around us, and they're not afraid of being censored. We're not going to alter what we say just to placate some YouTube censors. We had already had problems with Facebook, so they said, why don't you do Facebook Live? It's amazing on Facebook Live, and we've done this in the past. We've tried to broadcast Facebook Live, our radio program at night, and things like that. When you start talking about certain things, it's funny. The picture all of a sudden begins to pixelate. And when you stop talking about them, it goes back to normal. When you start talking about it, it pixelates again. And then the audio starts cutting in and out. And if you keep it up, eventually the stream cuts off. Well, I'm sure it's just coincidence. I'm sure there's no censors at Facebook messing with your stream. At any rate, pray for us and pray for your church. If you've got a pastor that's not afraid to say the truth and take a stand for the Bible and to talk about what's happening in the world in light of God's word. Didn't really plan on spending as much time on all of this, but I do think it's instrumental, and I think it's something that hopefully we can learn from. You know, we're not going to alter our message in order to as I said, to placate the censors at Facebook or YouTube, and you shouldn't either. You know, we have freedom in this country, and our founding fathers took great effort to enshrine that freedom in a document that we call the Constitution, that has a Bill of Rights. And when you look at that Bill of Rights, and we've got some callers I'll get to here in a minute, but when you look at that Bill of Rights, the very first thing in the Bill of Rights, the very first amendment to our Constitution, and if you research, you know, just go online and look for John Leland and Adams and their meeting, or not Adams, Madison, and they met. There's the Leland Madison Memorial Park in Virginia, and I've been there, and my wife and I visited there, and it's a lesser known place, but it ought to be known, especially by Christians, because it's where the Baptists of Virginia were worried that the Constitution that was being proposed would not protect their liberty to proclaim the gospel and worship as they chose, because a lot of the colonies in the first states had state churches in that state. You know, the pilgrims left so that they could worship as they pleased, and then they promptly set up a state church in Massachusetts where, for instance, if you study the history of Rhode Island, Roger Williams and Dr. John Clark basically were thrown out of Massachusetts for worshiping contrary to the Congregational Church. I believe the first Baptist church in America was Dr. John Clark in the wilderness, while him and a group of believers were in the wilderness on their way to Rhode Island. They met as a church. It's not the building that's the church. Roger Williams is credited with having the first building in Providence, Rhode Island, as a Baptist church. But Dr. John Clark, a year earlier, was already meeting with people, and then they would at great risk go back into Massachusetts to hold meetings that were illegal, where you could be fined, jailed, and even whipped. There were people who were actually put to death in the Boston Commons for worshiping contrary to the Congregational Church. And so the Baptists were, as well as some other groups like the Quakers that you had in Pennsylvania, were afraid of the new Constitution. And Leland, as a leader, was going to oppose Madison for the seat at the Continental Congress, or the Constitutional Convention, I should say. And he was going to vote against ratifying the new Constitution. And if Virginia failed to ratify the Constitution, it probably would have died. And who knows where history would have went. But he met with Madison, and they hashed out a gentleman's agreement. Madison agreed that if Leland and the Baptists would support him, he would go ratify the Constitution, then immediately proclaim or propose a series of amendments, the Bill of Rights. And the first of which, Amendment 1, which most people don't realize, is all one sentence. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, comma, I'm going to read the punctuation points, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, semicolon, or abridging the freedom of speech, comma, or of the press, semicolon, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, comma, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, period. All one long sentence. If you break that down, you find out the main subject of the first religion is not freedom of speech. It's not freedom of assembly. It's not freedom of the press. The main subject of the Constitution is freedom of religion. Because if the government can tell you what you can or can't say, you don't have freedom of religion. If the government can tell you what you can or cannot publish, you don't have freedom of religion. If the government can tell you whether or not you can meet, then you don't have freedom of religion. And if you don't have the right to petition for redress of grievances, you don't have freedom of religion. So in reality, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, and freedom to petition the government for redress of grievances are all supporting clauses to the main subject, which is freedom of religion. That's the main emphasis of the First Amendment. And that's what brought the Baptists on board. Freedom of religion. You know what that also means? It means free to believe contrary to what I believe. I mean, you're more than welcome out there to reject what I believe. It's your right. You know, I served in the military, so you have that right to tell me that I'm full of nonsense. That's your right. But I also have the right to say that you're full of nonsense. We have freedom of speech, and it ultimately comes down to freedom of religion. And you can go to a Baptist church or not. You can go to no church at all. You can go to the local mosque if you want. But nobody in the government should force you to go or not go to any particular church or religious institution, because we have freedom of religion. I heard a long time ago, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. When Muhammad died, there was a rebellion amongst the Muslims, because when Muhammad was alive, he convinced a lot of people at the point of the sword, threatening to kill them, to convert to Islam. And so they did, because they didn't want to die. When Muhammad died, they said, well, he's gone. Let's go back to what we used to do. And some of the other Muslims said, whoa, you can't do that. And because basically they only converted because they didn't want to be put to death. They weren't true converts. They just didn't want to be killed. And so there was essentially a civil war amongst the Muslims at that time. It was bloody, because they were fighting it out. And even to this day, Islam can force people to believe at the point of the sword. Christianity, true Bible-based Christianity, does not do that. When somebody tries to do that, they're getting away from the Word of God. I hear the music coming up, and I know I've been talking the whole first segment here, but I just got on a roll. It's been a busy day today and had a lot going on, and I want to thank you for listening. We're not done yet. We've got an hour and a half to go, but our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673.
And Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and you can find us, of course, online at livewithpastoral.com. We'll be with you tonight until midnight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're, of course, brought to you by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church obviously in Richfield, Ohio. And that's where I am the pastor. We're located at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. We don't have a standalone building, so don't look for a building with a steeple in the front of it. Look for a door, because we are Suite 200 and a little commercial strip. And we're not a big church, but we certainly serve a big God, and we try to do what we can to reach out and make a difference in the community around us, as well as sponsoring this radio program. Also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. If you're out on the east side there, even if you're on the west side, it's worth the drive. Garfield Heights, East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889. 509 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And tell them you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're going to have to get back to our phone calls because I went long in the last segment talking about a variety of things. And we've got some callers backing up on us. And we've got Ed calling in tonight. So, Ed, welcome to the program this evening. Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Hey, Ed. Can you hear us? Is Ed, are you there?
Hello? Yes.
Yes. Yeah, welcome to the program. We got you on the air.
Hi. I've got a letter I wanted to read off. It's written by Judge Steve McKinley.
Okay.
Richland County Juvenile Court.
Judge Steve McKinley, Richland County Juvenile Court.
Yes. Dated July 15.
All right. And the topic?
And on August 8th, I plan to vote yes on Issue 1. Here's why. Issue 1 would permit an amendment to the Ohio Constitution only by the approval of 60% of the vote. The current standard for amending the Ohio Constitution, 50% plus one vote, makes it too easy to take away true constitutional rights and too easy to invent false ones. Under our legal tradition, an activity that is inherently good and useful has been regarded as a natural constitutional right. An activity that is inherently wrongful or harmful has been regarded as a crime. Deviating from this legal tradition, a provision for casino gambling was recently put into the Ohio Constitution, and there may be future attempts to create a constitutional right to recreational marijuana use. Gambling and recreational marijuana use typically have been associated with criminality and addiction, and therefore have not been a right, but a wrong. During my experience as a juvenile court judge, I have seen that recreational marijuana use invariably entails laziness, low achievement, delinquent behavior, and inattentive parenting. Neither gambling nor recreational marijuana use deserves constitutional protection because they are not good and harmless activities. To avoid further abuse of our law, it should be amended to make more difficult to add false rights to the Constitution. The ease of adding false rights to the Constitution parallels the ease of taking away true rights. Parental rights, for example, are true constitutional rights. The act of properly parenting a child is a good and useful activity. It is therefore an act that has always been worthy of constitutional protection. The Constitution protects those who typically are naturally best suited to protect and guide children. Despite the importance of parents to the nurturing and protection of children, certain radical ideologues seek to countermand natural parental rights. These individuals seek to make children more susceptible to their own influence by lessening the protection children receive from their parents. The current lower standard for amending the Ohio Constitution makes it more likely that true constitutional rights, such as the right to parent, can be taken away. The standard for amending the Ohio Constitution should be at least 60% of the total vote, so that our law makes it much harder for false rights to be added to the Constitution and much harder for true rights to be taken away. On August 8th, join me in voting yes on Issue 1 to protect our constitutional rights. And that was by Judge Steve McKinley, Richland County Juvenile Court.
And a very well-written letter when you think about some of the things. I like the discussion about what constitutes something that should be considered a right, you know, as being helpful and beneficial as opposed to something that's harmful to people and to society, which ought to be considered more of a crime than a right. And I agree with the judge. I agree with the judge. A 60% majority is, I've called it a consensus majority. It's not just a supermajority or a majority. It's a consensus because it shows that the overwhelming number of the people are for or against something rather than just a bare minimum, you know, say as small as 50.00001% of the population, which guarantees division in the state. And that's just one of the many reasons that I, too, would echo the judge's sentiments and vote yes on issue one on August the 8th. But good letter, and thank you for that, Ed.
Glad to call it in.
All right, appreciate that. Thank you so much. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry calling here tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Good evening. We got to you before the end of the first hour tonight, so glad to have you.
You know, you always get me thinking, hey, like last week when you were talking about, when we were talking about Matthew 13, I think about what I said and what you say.
And I
get thinking, you know, like, you know, and I thank you for the correction. Sometimes I get a little off track and I need correction.
Well, you know, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. We help each other out.
Right. You know, and you were talking about the weeds last week, and we could have weeds in our life. We might even have weeds in our life that we're not even quite aware of.
You know, and actually this brings something up, Terry, not to take away from what you're saying, but I've been preaching through the book of Proverbs on Sunday nights at our church, our 6 o'clock service. And tonight I was in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. And it starts out, let me just read along with what you just said, verses 30 and 31, where he says, this is Solomon writing. He says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And you know, Solomon sees this. It's just like we were talking about the weeds and everything that pull away from your productivity. And of course, they stem from the curse in Genesis chapter 3, where the ground was cursed because of Adam's sin, and it would bring forth thorns and thistles, and by the sweat of his brow, he would have to work to overcome the effects of the curse in order to produce his bread. And look at verse number 32. Solomon says, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received a little instruction. And he learned from seeing the vineyard and the field, you know, the field of the slothful and the vineyard of the man void of understanding. It's the same person, probably. And Solomon saw that, and he said, I considered it well. So I looked upon it and received instruction, which means God spoke to him as he looked at that. And I'm not going to preach my sermon here from tonight, but it reminded me, you're talking about the weeds. You know, remember we were talking about how the seed that was sown and the weeds grew up and choked it. And that's what happens. There's no productivity with the weeds. You have to clear the weeds out, don't you?
Yeah, you know, we always have to be careful that we're not, we don't. If we might have problems with dealing with stuff, and we need to ask the Lord to deal with it.
Yeah, and that's what I was telling our church.
That's all our care is upon him.
Yeah, that's what I was telling our church tonight. You know, Solomon saw this, and you know, the continual fight against the weeds, you're fighting against the curse, and the wall was there to protect the vineyard and the field, you know, and so when the wall was broken down, you know, the field and the vineyard was open to animals coming in and tearing it up and things, and of course the weeds and the tares choked everything so it couldn't be productive there, and that's what happens in our life, isn't it? Just like what you said, if we're not careful, we allow the walls that should protect us to come in disrepair, and we allow the weeds and things to grow up and choke us, and we're no longer able to serve God very effectively, are we?
Right. And we can still be believers and still have that
yes.
problem.
Yeah, and that's why when you talk about that parable of the seed and the sower, I really do believe that the seed that fell amongst the, it sprung up with the thorns, you know, the weeds and everything that choked it out, I really do believe that's a picture of a believer. Because if you go into a garden, my garden, and let me tell you, my garden needs some serious weeding right now. But it looks like the field of the slothful right now. I got weeds that are just like taking over. But if I go in, I got some cabbages that I really need to get out there and pull some weeds out around them, or they're never going to amount to anything. But if I go out there and pull the weeds around the cabbage plants, they'll do much better. They'll put forward, you know, some more effort growing and they'll do a lot better. But if I don't go out there and pull the weeds out, they'll struggle along. I'll get some small cabbages, but it won't be near as much as what it would be if I went out there and pulled the weeds out. Same thing in our life, isn't it? You might be able to do a couple of things for the Lord, but if you don't pull the weeds out, you're not going to be able to do much.
Yeah, we can do a lot more resist those temptations of the flesh.
Yeah, and you know the sad thing is Solomon wrote this, and then at the end of his life, you know, he kind of lost his own lesson, didn't he? He let the walls fall down, too many wives, and the weeds started to grow and choked off his productivity. And his sad state of affairs at the end, such that God actually cursed the kingdom because of him.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then one other thing I said that wasn't quite correct, but the disciples said, why speakest thou unto him in parables? And I was saying the disciples already knew what the truth was, but they didn't.
Right.
Even all the things that the disciples, Jesus did to them, like feeding the 4,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 people, whatever.
It is like a women, couple so different 5, cases, yeah.
Plus women and children, yeah. Women and children, plus women and children, so it could have been up to 10,000 or more. We don't know for
sure. Yeah, we really don't know.
And, you know, even after that, you know, and they come to him, they had no bread.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jesus didn't, you know, said to him, you know, remember when I fed the 5,000?
Mm-hmm.
With just two fishes and a loaf of bread, you know, the miracles he did, right? And they
right.
still didn't understand who he was.
Right. And they wanted to know what some of the parables meant, because even as we were talking about the parable of the seed and the sower, they wanted to know what it meant. They didn't understand it at first either, and so Jesus had to explain it to them. But here's the difference between a disciple and somebody who's just curious. The disciples had a desire to know. There's a lot of people, they're curious. Remember at Athens, you know, when Paul spoke on Mars Hill in Athens, there in the book of Acts. And remember it said that the Athenians, they came there to basically to see and hear some new thing. That's how they spent the time, just to see and hear some new thing. Not that they really wanted to go in depth. It's kind of like the modern day internet experience where you just see all these little things that are designed to catch your attention. But it never goes into any depth, any detail, and you just move on to the next new thing. No depth, no detail. Just move on to the next new thing, on to the next new thing constantly. And that's where some people are. They really don't want to take the time to learn, to know and understand something. As Solomon said, he received instruction when he thought about what he was looking at. And this is what we need to do. We need to... You know, in the disciples' case, they heard what Jesus said, and they thought about what he said, and then they listened to Jesus as he instructed them into the meaning of some of these things. And so today, that's what we need to do. We need to read and then think about what the Bible says and allow God to instruct us through his Spirit, don't we?
Yeah, meditate on the Word day and night.
Yes.
Like in Psalms, I think that's Psalms 1, I believe. And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Yeah.
Well, that's Psalms 23.
Yeah, where the roots are able to get plenty of water for the tree to be able to grow and to grow strong.
Yeah, I'm in chapter 16 of Matthew right now, and there's a lot in that chapter.
Oh, and it's very good. I'm trying to think when the last time I preached through the Gospel of Matthew. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John on Sunday morning. I think the last Gospel that I preached through, and it's some time ago, was Luke. And then after that, I preached through the book of Acts because I was looking at, you know, the books that Luke wrote, you know, Matthew and then Acts, or I'm sorry, Luke and then Acts. And then, from there, we went into a number of the Pauline epistles, and went through a lot of that and then into 1st, 2nd Peter. And now I've come back to the Gospels, looking at the Gospel of John. And one of these days, I'm going to have to come back, circle back and get into Matthew the Gospel of Matthew and just go through that one from start to finish. I like preaching through books of the Bible because it helps me preach not only the whole counsel of God, but it also helps me to keep centered on what God's actually saying rather than what I want him to say. And there can be a big difference.
What got me back into the gospel again is, you know, somebody was saying something I was reading or heard, you know, saying, when's the last time they went through, asking people when they went through the four gospels.
Mm-hmm.
I got thinking about that. I don't think I've done that in a long time, and I thought maybe I should start doing that.
Oh yeah, it's good because there's a lot of foundational teaching about who Jesus is, and it really does provide a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because you see Jesus coming in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, in his birth, in his upbringing, in his ministry, and then even in his sacrificial death on the cross, and his burial and his resurrection, and now entering into a new dispensation, the New Testament dispensation, you know, with the believers of this age, the Christians, and then of course you go from there into the Acts. You know, the Gospels are kind of like the Acts of Jesus, and then the book of Acts is the Acts of his disciples who became the apostles, and it really is a great progression as you go through the Bible.
Yeah, and if you say you're always going to learn things every time you open up the book.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things I like to point out, too, because people wonder, well, why are there four Gospels, and why are they each a little bit different, even though they all talk about largely the same thing? Some have some parts that others don't emphasize, and some emphasize, you know, this and that and the other. And I like to point out in Revelation chapter 4, it says in, starting verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne. Round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And it goes on to talk about them, and then as they're surrounding the throne of God saying, holy, holy, holy. And what's interesting with these is this is reflected in the Gospels, because Matthew presents Jesus as the king, and that would be like the beast that's a lion. The second one presents, that's Mark, presents Jesus as the servant, and that would be the ox or the calf, which would be the second beast. And then in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is presented as the man Christ Jesus. His humanity is brought out. And of course, the third beast has the face of a man. And then we come to John's Gospel, which is a little different from the other three. And Jesus is presented as divine. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the fourth beast is pictured as an eagle. The eagle flies up in the heavens, and not an earthbound creature. And so you've got these four angelic beings surrounding the throne of God in heaven, reflecting the four attributes of Jesus Christ, the King, the servant, the man Christ Jesus, and the God-man Jesus Christ. And really exciting when you look at the Gospels in that light, isn't it?
Yeah, Yeah, and it's so important for us to realize who Jesus is, because if we don't recognize who he is, then we're lost.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's why there's so many false religions out there, because they don't recognize Jesus as the Lord, and like Peter did.
Yeah.
Peter recognized Jesus as God manifested in the flesh.
Yeah, he's not a created being. He's not a lesser divinity. He's not Michael the Archangel. He's not just a man. He's not an avatar. He is the second person of the Godhead, God the Son.
Right.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And these three, the Bible tells us, are one. Not just one in unity and you know, one on, we're pulling for the same purpose and goals, but one in the same being, God.
Right.
Jehovah God of the Bible.
And of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Muslims, and they don't know.
No, they do not understand who Jesus is. And that's the problem. When you have a group that denies the divinity of Christ, well, they don't know who Jesus is. They're preaching another Jesus, which isn't the true Jesus. It's a false Jesus.
And I tell them, your Jesus is not my Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say exactly. I was just going to say, I hear the music coming up there, so we're going to have to be taking a break here in just a moment. And also have Mary Grace, who's been waiting patiently for us, and we're going to have to hold her over into the next hour, I think.
Thank you for taking my call.
But again, appreciate you bringing this up and bringing us back there to the Gospels. And let me encourage people, take Terry's example here. Get into the Gospels and read them and compare them to each other and think about what I said in Revelation chapter 4, verse 7. The lion, the ox, or the calf, the man, and the eagle, representing the the royalty, the kingness, the king nature of Christ. The ox representing the servant nature, the man, the humanity of Christ. And then the eagle representing the divinity of Christ. It's all there, and the scripture ties together, and that's why you have four gospels. So appreciate that, Terry. We're going to take a break here, and in just a few minutes, we'll be back with the next hour of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. So don't go away. We got another whole hour to go, and stick with us. We'll join us just after these announcements and such. On July 2, 1954, then-Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson offered an amendment to a pending tax bill. No committee hearings, no legislative analysis, backroom deals. The Johnson Amendment was an overt move to restrict freedom of speech and silence conservative nonprofit groups opposing Johnson and his cronies by threatening their tax-exempt status. The result? Many pastors, out of fear or ignorance, stopped speaking about controversial political issues and elections. Today, many believe that the Johnson Amendment makes it illegal for pastors to address political issues and elections. The Bible says we are to fear God rather than men, and to be salt and light in the world, preaching the whole counsel of God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. True churches and faithful Christian leaders speak out on political issues and elections.